Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness some scenes from the next attraction to play this theater. This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person or the parent of a young or impressionable child now in attendance, that you and the child leave the auditorium for the next 90 seconds.
Good evening, friends. You've found another episode of the Video Nasty Project. Lucky you. So what's so special about this episode? From this point on, all the movies that we'll be talking about were the ones that slipped through the net somehow. The ones where the DPP couldn't land a conviction, or, like with The Evil Dead, Sam Raimi actually flew to England and argued in front of the court and defended his movie and got his conviction overturned. So these were the ones that slipped through the net that you couldn't get bagged for. Since Ashley and Brad had their say about censorship and how bad it sucks and what they thought about it, I thought it'd be fun to kick off the second half of the list with Jeff and Ian giving their thoughts on censorship. So, take it away, gentlemen. So, I wanted to kick off second season of the Video Nasty Project and the non-prosecuted list by getting you guys in and talking a little bit about censorship and, like, our stance on censorship. Which, I guess we can all agree that, at a very least at a high level, censorship sucks.
Yeah.
But, being that you're reasonably educated, very opinionated, I wanted to get what you guys thought of censorship.
Anytime you want to talk about censorship, the first thing you have to do is, I'm a big proponent of being very careful about defining what you're talking about in this
arena.
Words
have power.
Words have power, and it's good to be precise about these things. So when we talk censorship, true censorship is when the government or the powers that be are controlling what can be ingested on an intellectual level. You know, what you get to hear and see, what people get to say, where they get to say, well, this is bad, and thus you cannot propagate this, and you cannot read this. It's controlling what information you get, and thus controlling a lot of things. It can control how opinions are formed. It can control the amount of information you have to make decisions about something. So that, to me, is censorship, which one of the problems is there's a lot of people that confuse people saying, well, you're on my platform, I don't want you saying these things, with censorship, because no one's saying you can't say that, you just can't say that on my platform.
Just because you have a right to free speech does not necessarily mean that I have to give you a megaphone.
Right, and it does not mean I have to listen to you. Part of my freedom of speech is to say, you know what? I don't care about your opinion. Go away. Or I disagree with your opinion. It also doesn't mean there aren't consequences to your opinion. A lot of people say, I said this horrible thing and now everyone's coming down on me. That's censorship. No, that's consequences. No one stopped you from saying the thing. Nobody said you couldn't say the thing. You just assumed because of freedom of speech that you could get away with it and you wouldn't get fired.
I suppose more in the context of the project, however. So media programming people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we are all of the age group that we watched a lot of Schoolhouse Rock growing up, right? Correct?
Yeah. Sure.
Correct?
It's the only reason I can do multiplication tables.
Exactly.
And know the preamble to the Constitution.
Now, if we take that hypothesis that you can learn from television in a constructive way,
mm-hmm.
then why wouldn't it be also logical that you could program somebody negatively?
We have to look at context. You know, Sesame Street and Schoolhouse Rock were being presented in an educational format with that here are facts. And when you're looking at a piece of fiction, it's just that. And if it's presented as fiction, it's not trying to teach you anything. It's fiction. It's catharsis.
It's meant as an entertainment.
Yeah. And so the argument that that's teaching you something is, A, I think a dog whistle, and B, plenty of studies have shown it is in fact not the case. That's not how it works. So in the 90s, I worked for Wizards of the Coast, which is the company that produces Magic the Gathering, and during my time there, took over the Dungeons & Dragons property. Mm-hmm. Part of my specific job duties was I was the person who any calls accusing us of being satanic or somehow harmful were directed to me. So part of my job was to become well-educated on the satanic panic, but also on what is actually going on with games. And again, you had many psychologists prove that the role-playing of Dungeons & Dragons was actually helped improve people's ability to process their emotions, to deal with situations.
To interact with other people.
Yeah, and it was actually a healthy activity. And the same with Magic the Gathering, that it was a social activity. So it improved socialization. It improved the ability to process mathematics. And so these were proven to have positive things, but they were getting the negative connotation because people were looking at them at the surface level and trying to control the content.
The American Marys would look at the cover of the Monster Manual and see that big red demon on the cover and freak the fuck out because, holy crap, that's Satan on the book.
I mean, one of the things I dealt with was some people in upstate New York who fought, you're going to have to bear with me, this is going to take a minute to make sure this makes sense. They filed a First Amendment lawsuit against the school district for allowing a Magic the Gathering club. Let me explain. Everyone's okay. Now going, why was it a First Amendment? Because, and this was their position, because this game so clearly promoted a religion, Satanism, that it was a violation of separation of church and state. Interestingly, the lawsuit went through on other issues they added to it, but after they removed Magic the Gathering.
Interesting. All right.
Where it no longer became about religion. But the point is that was where, because they had looked at it, made a snap decision, and drove forward with it. I will tell one of the funny stories because it also illustrates the mindset. I had a woman call me up once who was livid that her child had bought Magic the Gathering cards. Call was directed to me as these happened, and she immediately started with, I'm going to burn these cards. And my answer to her was, no, ma'am, do not burn the cards. I'm going to burn these cards. No, ma'am, shred them. Why? And I was like, the smoke would be toxic. Those cards are coated in plastic. Shred them. It's safer. She was so convinced I would be upset that she was going to burn the cards that I was going to try and talk her out of it. What she wasn't prepared was me tell her a better way to destroy the cards. So, anyway.
I'm just envisioning a $10,000 Black Lotus going into a shredder.
You know what? She paid for it. And that's even what I told her. Don't you care what I'm going to do? No, you bought them. They're your cards. You can do whatever you want with them. Once we had your money, our relationship was over. And again, it's when people get it locked in their head that these things are going to have these effects, not based on any fact, but on urban legends they've heard or, you know, other things that just seem to make sense to them based on things they've been told. And the answer everyone always gave was, I just want to protect my children. And that's like, I think that's great, but wouldn't it be better to protect your children from a place of knowledge instead of ignorance?
That was one of the things I wanted to bring up with you guys, was that I went through, okay, been that we're anti-censorship around here pretty much.
Sure.
I had to go and do a whole bunch of reading and like find some pro-censorship arguments just so that I could play devil's advocate adequately. And that was one of the talking points that they were very concerned about, was that they see censorship as a good thing because it protects people. It protects the children. A lot of, well, we're doing this for the children, that they shouldn't see, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that they shouldn't see Psycho.
The problem is, hey, that never works. At least never, not any, there's never been any signs that anything like that works. The example I use on that is, I'm going to get you so downvoted.
Go ahead. Please, downvote and then subscribe.
Are you familiar with the Quiverful movement?
Mm-mm.
So the Quiverful movement is a homeschooling movement, a fundamentally religious homeschooling movement, with the idea that it is preparing children to be arrows in God's quiver. That's where the name comes from.
Okay.
So it's making sure they are raised in a environment where they are raised staunchly Christian without outside influences to draw them off the the path of righteousness. Path. Right. The problem that has come out is that children coming out of the Quiverful movement, a lot of them, and the children themselves say, I hated it because I'm unprepared for life. There are things in the real world that I don't know how to deal with because my parents did not allow me to be exposed to it. It's the same reason I'm going to give you an analogy.
All right.
I have a friend whose parents were complete germophobes, and she was raised in a practically sterile environment. Today, this is a person who has severe food allergies. She wasn't exposed. She didn't build up a tolerance to a lot of stuff.
So essentially, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger in this case.
Yeah, and so when she had a child, she vowed, my child will play in the dirt. To avoid what had been done to her body. And on an intellectual and emotional level, it's very much the same thing. If you are not exposed to this stuff growing up, if you do not learn how to deal with it, once you come up against the realities of the real world, it is it's a slap in the face because suddenly there's a whole bunch of rules that everyone learned being socialized growing up that you don't know. And everyone has a leg up on you.
Now I want to go back to an earlier statement before that to put some context into the views of censorship, specifically from the United Kingdom point of view and from the United States point of view. Now, the United States, our Bill of Rights and the Constitution, everything is set up to keep religion from creating our laws. And it's set up to stop our lawmakers from doing anything to religion.
In theory.
That's not the case in England. Mary Whitehouse, other politicians in government, Thatcher, the people who preceded Thatcher, the people who have followed her, the Church of England is in charge. They're politicians. They have a prime minister, and they have representatives,
members of parliament, House of Lords.
Mm-hmm. Now these people all have titles. Political titles, but they also have religious titles.
Back to Westminster Abbey being the next door neighbor to Parliament.
Right. So there's where we can get a little bit of that disconnect if somebody's looking at the video nasties and going, why the heck would people in England be making a fuss about this? But they didn't make a fuss about it here in the States.
We did kind of have a little bit of that going on. We did have the satanic panic that you mentioned earlier, and we did have Tipper Gore versus heavy metal music, where Dee Snider and John Denver came back and rallied against them at Congress.
Another element would be the family hour on television. So between seven and nine.
Yeah.
Well, people on television at the time frame, back in the 80s when this first kicked off, they went before committees in Washington, D.C., and that was like Alan Alda, Carol O'Connor, and other folks from television, primetime television, were going up before them and going, and Archie Bunker, who is as a character, is a racist SOB.
A lovable racist SOB.
Carol O'Connor was the opposite, and he's up there going, look at the show I'm doing, and I know full well people aren't learning from this in the sense of to become that. They're learning that it's wrong.
The whole point of Archie Bunker was, in fact, to laugh at this idiot, this blue-collar racist idiot, and say, ha-ha, you're a terrible person, let's not be like you.
I think it's also good, especially because we're three Americans discussing the video nasties. It is important to understand we are dealing with a great culture. I just had the every once in a while, those divides. My brother-in-law is British, and now he's lived in America the last 25 years, so he's pretty cultural. But we used to have so much fun with just the different British idioms versus American idioms that fanny means something completely different in Britain. And fag means something completely different in Britain than it does now. Or little things. I was just listening to something this week where there was a British person who had never encountered clam chowder before. And when it was described to them as heavy creams and shellfish, they went, wait, is it a dessert? Which, of course, to us, it's like, what?
But, that's not right.
But because, again, it's there was a great thing. We, the three of us, audience, the three of us, when we were much younger people, used to play the role-playing games Champions. And there was a supplement that came out for Champions that was the United Kingdom Heroes and Supplement. And the tagline on the back was, "The United Kingdom, where you think you speak the language." And, you know, there are those little cultural mishaps. So if it's anytime you start having an argument about what's going on in another country, and every time I see somebody going, well, that's just censorship, well, under American law. But in these other countries, it's a whole different, and not even English-speaking countries. People, that's censorship. Yeah, but it's legal there.
Or you get over to, like, Japan, and they have, like, an entirely different, weird sense of, okay, we can show full frontal, but you can't show any vag, so they'll throw the pixelation on right there in their hentai. Or yeah. The whole reason that tentacle porn exists is because, well, we can't show cock, so we're going to show this simulated purple digit that's penetrating you.
It's important to be precise about these things. Context matters. So the video nasties, part of that is the British context. Now, it's still censorship. And it's still, in the end, thought police. It's still trying to control what you think or what you think you should think. And again, it's really easy. I mean, even here in America, we, going back to the Satanic Panic days and the stuff I had to learn, with the D&D stuff, there was a woman named Pat Pulling who formed a group called Bothered About Dungeons and Dragons after her son had committed suicide, and the scapegoat she had chosen for it was Dungeons and Dragons.
Which led to that whole Tom Hanks movie of the Mazes and Monsters where he jumps off of the Empire State Building.
I have whole opinions on that, and that will be, let's put it this way, that may be a whole different video and a whole different series. We'll talk later. But the point is, she got accredited and she worked with a group that went around teaching police officers at police seminars how to deal with Satanism and occultism in criminal investigations. That was absolute complete fiction. But because she had become an expert in the area and had people working with her and she had an organization, she was able to influence an entire generation of police officers into a very weird belief in what was, that there was an entire satanic conspiracy out there that had to be opposed, which was, you know, has so been disproven now, but at that era was pretty much assumed to be fact.
There was another example that was very similar to that. Jack Thompson, the disbarred lawyer who in the late 90s and early aughts was this absolutely just raged against anything violent in video games like Grand Theft Auto. He absolutely went to the mat just deriding this in a very similar fashion. Mm-hmm. And of course, and much in a very similar fashion, everything out of his mouth was pure bullshit.
By that point, thanks to the debunking and of everything from the Dungeons and Dragons stuff, people were much more inured to the video game claims, and Tipper Gore was, I think, part of the video game things too. It didn't get as much traction because by that time, I think most people knew that it was in fact BS. And again, that's an advantage of as you learn. But in the end, both of these, Jack Thompson and Pat Pulling, what these really were, let's pick an easy scapegoat so we don't have to deal with the real underlying causes.
And that was one of the key hypotheses that people armchair quarterbacking video nasties. That's what Thatcher was doing. Well, I have all this civil unrest that was going on in the early 80s. I have strikes going on. I have riots going on. I have all this trouble. How can I find an easy scapegoat? Aha! Horror movies, these new things that are coming into fashion must be the cause. I will now rally the troops against this one bullet point.
Absolutely.
Avoiding the real problems.
That your civilization is going to shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's a classic, we see it even now. It's, you know, it's the old magician trick. Look over here, look over here, look over here. Don't notice what's actually going on over here.
Though, I guess in a kind of roundabout way, very whataboutism.
Part of it, absolutely, but I think it's also I remember back in the day on Saturday Night Live when Robert Smigel was doing cartoons for them, he did a thing called Distracto, who is a superhero the government would bring in when some scandal was happening to cause something weird to happen with a celebrity to distract the media. And that's always, you know, it's like if something bad's going to happen, if something really weird is happening or someone says something really weird and it's suddenly getting a lot of media attention, what you really need to do is pay attention. What else is going on right now? What is this a smokescreen for? And in Thatcher's case, it was, you know, her policies were creating civil unrest. The conservative government was, the youth was getting, much like we see now, the youth was getting frustrated with
disenfranchised
and was rebelling. And rather than deal with the root cause of what's making them angry and address it, because that might mean losing power, let's find a scapegoat so that we can blame someone and look like, and be, we can then be proactive. And yeah, it's, again, I'm remembering, I've done a lot of study of urban legend, which was actually the reason why I was picked to be the point guy at Wizards of the Coast. When I told him, and one of the urban legends that always fascinated me, are you familiar with the Blue Star Tattoo? So the Blue Star Tattoo is an old urban legend that's probably started in the 60s, where drug dealers would take lick-on tattoos for kids and coat them with LSD.
Oh.
And pass them out to school kids to get them addicted to drugs, which is, if you know anything about LSD, is BS. It's not physically addictive. And a children going on an LSD trip without understanding what's going on would not be having a good time. But because the panic was created, people would pass out flyers. And anytime you challenge them, well, I'm just trying to protect my children. From what? From what, really? You know, you're saying you're trying to protect from drug dealers, but this doesn't actually exist. I actually got in trouble once. I was working at a convenience store. Somebody brought a Blue Star Tattoo, and I got really excited. Can I keep this? We can't post it, but can I keep this? Sure, and then they asked why. And I told them the whole urban legend. Let's just say it ended up in a conversation with my manager. But you look at any urban legend, there are cautionary tales. But they are often also used as excuses to, well, we need to put these protections in place because this bad thing can happen. Well, that bad thing doesn't actually happen.
The razor blades in the apples on Halloween is a prime example of...
Classic urban legend.
Classic urban legend never happens. There was one instance, one dude was targeting one kid specifically, and that's as far as it goes.
I guess in the end, where I'm coming back to is censorship in the end is a form of control. So the questions you have to ask yourself when you're seeing censorship happen is, what are they trying to control? What's the truth underlying what's going on here?
And what are they trying not to tell me?
Or what is it they don't want? You know, what is it they don't want me to know? How are they trying to modify my behavior to their benefit?
People want to claim that there's a problem with media controlling people. And usually all of the things that they want to make a fuss about aren't actually doing that. And in the process, media is being used to control people. Conservative news ownership and so forth.
So basically what you're saying is that we've seen this all before and we'll see it all again.
It's going to happen again and it's going to happen again and it's going to happen again. And each and every time it slowly gets worse. And part of what I believe... I don't know, but I believe is going on now is back in the 80s, we had the Fairness Doctrine in the United States. And that was news journalists had to present what they wanted to talk about. They had to present both sides of the story. Here's the good that's going on. Here's the positive. Here's the negative. You had to show that you're talking about both sides and you had to present them equally. The Fairness Doctrine also stipulated that news media had to be presenting the truth, had to be telling the truth. It went away.
So you're saying that Reagan is basically our Thatcher, essentially.
Bingo! Did away with what kept our news media from becoming what it became.
When you look at things, you know, don't just accept everything that's said. Avoid the echo chamber. Avoid looking for things that just prove you're right.
For God's sakes, think.
Yeah, think. You know, think and think critically. You know, look at something and ask the questions. You know, one of the hardest things right now is, and it's hard even for those of us that know better, it's really easy to go, aha, these people I don't like, here's proof they're, and well, then I have to look at my own side. And aha, we've got our own problems. But the point, the real point is, you've got to look at things critically. And you always have to ask the question, what's really going on here? I think we're really seeing that. To me, it's what's really going on here is probably right now, at the time we're recording this, really being played out well with the whole story about James Gunn.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's really going on here? You know, this whole thing about they dredged up tweets he made 10 years ago.
Which, to be fair, were pretty reprehensible
tweets. They were reprehensible, but he, in those 10 years since, has owned them and said, I was wrong, and worked hard to be a better person. But they were dredged up and weaponized, and he got fired. And again, why? Well, obviously, the people who did it, it's pretty much been shown that
they have an end game.
They have an end game, and it was, oh, he's critical of the president. And it was a test balloon. Oh, okay, we got Trump, so now let's go out for Patton Oswalt and Michael Ian Black. And fortunately, in those two cases, people already saw what happened with James Gunn and went, yeah, no.
You guys are terrible at summing up.
Sure we are, because we like to talk. We have opinions. We are opinionated. Okay.
You wanted us. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, hey, why don't I get my two most opinionated friends over here and have them talk about censorship? And sure, that'll go great. Sure, Jeff's got expertise and Ian has opinions, which is what you said at the beginning, and we do. What are we bad at? Summing up. So to sum up, censorship is always problematic because it is a means of, and this kind of ties in both our thoughts, it is a means of trying to guide people's thoughts to a certain direction that may not be in their best interest. It is the best interest of the people in power, not necessarily the people it is happening to.
So for God's sakes, think.
If you could say anything else, yeah, put that in big red letters.
Stop drinking Kool-Aid.
That's you're getting into health things again. Think.
Give them a faith to live by. Worship this week.
All right, that's enough of that nonsense. Why don't we kick off the list proper? Join us again here next week when we take a look at Lucio Fulci's third movie on the list, The Beyond. It's going to be awesome. In the meantime, drop us an email, thevideonastyproject@gmail.com. Tell us what movies that are coming up that you're looking forward to, either you're dreading or you're really excited about. And stay evil. We'll catch you next week.
Your video is now ready for use. Insert cassette. Rewind to beginning of tape. And press play. Happy viewing.
They wouldn't say that if they knew what video we've got.